Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I am Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, Coach. We are loaded with information today. Just so much going on, man. It's like we have to kind of peel back the layers and find out what we want to do in a 30-minute segment.
Yeah.
So, sound like a lot of time, but when we get into our show, it goes pretty fast.
I mean, starting out with sports, I mean, Michigan State, we got to figure out how to get a Big Ten win. We getting smashed. But it just shows you how good the Kenneth Walker boy posted won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
He posted won it. Because if our team is like that without him, he was a special kid.
Yeah, he meant a lot. See, he got his first touchdown.
Yeah,
too.
He looked nice in the NFL. He looked all right.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
He got a brother quarterback and a brother running back.
Yeah, he's got to get it with him a good organization, though, man.
Yeah.
Because they're underachieving. He's in Seattle, right?
Yeah, they're underachieving.
Yeah, yeah. I think he'd have been better off if Russ had stayed. But, heck, Russ don't look too good in Bronco blue.
He should have came back home. He should have stayed where he was at because, I mean, Seahawks beat the Lions. But it was a close game. I'm like, Lions would probably be a better team. They wouldn't that. They would be 3-1.
Yeah, they should be, man. It's like, I can't figure it out.
1-point losses and 3-point losses is something different.
Yep. But, you know, the hot seat is still alive and well in NFL, right?
Yes.
Panthers just fired their coach. Okay, and there are a number of coaches in the hot seat. You don't get that.
Like college football.
Three is about the max you're going to get now in NFL. And the colleges are starting to lean that way, too. Right, these guys getting these big contracts, man, and you know, two at the best you're gonna get is three, and after that they're gonna send you packing. They'll give you your walking away money, which could be sizable. Most of them been around $15 million, so it's kind of hard to feel sorry for them though when they walk out the door with $15 million in their pocket.
And you, if you can't cut it, you can't cut it. And then you know, just looking at the teams, you're like, man. But then like, I think the sport football is taking a real hit. Like the pandemic has did something to the high school and college level and the pro level. It's a lot different with the injuries, with the kids coming out now. It's like some schools have, for the high school level, has had to cut their whole program or cut the rest of their season, Tony.
Yeah, we've had a number of them here. Orchard View's done it again. Of course, in our division, Holland, they opted out. There's other teams on the west side, east side of the state has done the same thing. You just don't get the numbers that we had in the past.
Yeah, so. I was talking I went to this camp earlier this week, and I was talking to a coach from Northview, and I think he coached a ninth grade team. And he's like, yeah, we don't have a JV. So I said, what do y'all do? He said, we pull kids up from ninth grade. I was like, that's got to be rough. A ninth grader, they not ready.
No, it's only a few.
For varsity.
Yeah, yeah. Once in a while, you'll get a kid, maybe two, that's ready. But normally, no.
That's a man's game.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, you know, sometimes that'll kill the taste for the sport, man.
Yeah, one of them football hits from somebody that's...
Yeah, some of them seniors go out there laying their wood.
A D1 senior hits you? Woo!
Yeah, you're looking for a way out.
Check your underwear. Get it cracking. That's what it's going to get.
Yeah, so, you're looking for a way out, man.
Yeah, but sports has been going. Just on a sports note, NBA about to come back. I was watching the preseason game the other day. And Patrick Beverley said, I'm here to be a leader. The Lakers they got leaders in stats and leaders in the system, but they ain't got that guy on the court to just focus it on keeping the cohesion, right?
Okay.
He said, LeBron, greatest of all time. AD, good. He won the top 75 ever. He said, I understand that, but they got stuff to do. So Patrick Beverley said, I'm going to bring that to the Lakers. So the other day, he in the game, and they shoot, you know, between shooting free throws, we had to do this as point guards and guards. Bring all your guys together and say, yeah, all right, you got him, we're going to do this. He tried to do that, and Russell Westbrook was like, no.
Really?
Russell Westbrook was like, going with that. All four other guys, AD, LeBron, Beverly, and a younger cat, was looking at him like,
yeah.
He got to go. It's time to bring Buddy Hield over. Bring Buddy Hield over. We want Buddy Hield. You got to go, bro.
Whether you agree with it or not, you gotta go. Four of the players bought in, you got to come along
for
the ride.
Bro. On the court, you just like, nah, he's straight.
But I expect that from Russ.
Yeah, he's going to have to get – maybe they should have hit him like Draymond Green hit my man. In the game for that. He deserved to get. But I ain't going to bring that one up. I ain't going to.
Yeah.
Because My man Pooh about to get paid. He's a definite
future
tier one talent.
He reminds me
of a good Curry mold type of player. Can score from multiple places. Deserves the best. It's just unfortunate that his own video that it happened to him.
Yeah, and most of the guys that's on the sport talk show says, you know, that's hard to forgive.
Yeah, that's hard to forgive.
He says that the relationship will never be the same. The locker room will never be the same. And now what you have is you got the other players saying, okay, who are we aligned with?
The young boys with the young guys. OGs, the old guys. Because I think it was somebody talking about, because like when you were the older player, the younger players watch you. They want to be like you. And I'm thinking about Charles Barkley with Dr. J and Moses Malone. Mm-hmm. They could never do nothing wrong in his eye. They even took him shopping to get his clothes together.
He said Moses Malone has had the biggest impact on him in basketball because he was the one that told him, if you lose this weight, and he said, if you lose 5 pounds, you're going to play better. And he said he lost 5, and he played better. He felt better. So he lost another 5. And he lost another 5. And he said, before you know it, man, I was at a weight where I could just play basketball from the beginning to the end. He said, but he had to attribute that to Moses Malone. So some guys get it, some don't. But it's going to be hard for him to ever have the look up to Draymond Green. Not going to happen. If he lasts the season. But next year, he will not be in.
Draymond won't. Yeah, because they're going to re-sign him to that 130.
Yep, they're going to sit him down the road. Some other team he's going to go to, they're going to do well. You know, they need that seasoned veteran. Some young team that's looking for that veteran. So
yeah. So they're going to do that in that space.
Yep. So, but anyway, earlier this week, the numbers came out again for inflation. And well above what was projected. So September came in at 8.2% of inflation. And the magic number, according to the Feds, is like 2. They want to get it down to 2, no higher than 3. So that means the next interest rate that will come sometime at the end of this month will probably be an entire 1%. So, you know, people talk about we went from 3%, now we're at 6%, right? Say, okay, that's only 3 percentage points. You're looking at it all wrong. That's a 100% increase in the interest rates when you go from 3 to 6. So the interest rates have increased 100%, all right?
They say the housing market froze.
Housing market is getting slammed. It was one of the major homeowners that mortgage companies is getting ready to, you know, again, start with these layoffs. And the end of the month, like I said, with the 1% increase, we're going to go over 100% since June of interest rates increase, because they had talked about if this number 8.7 was lower, they would consider maybe doing a soft break, right? Maybe we'll go 0.25%, half maybe. But with 8.7, it's going to be either a 0.75 or a whole point, because they figure right now what they've done has not worked. So some other things that come along with that is retirees. They get a boost on their Social Security because it's a cost of living. So they'll be getting an increase in their monthly checks.
How much? By like $140, $180?
Somewhere in that neighborhood. You know, it kind of depends on how much you're getting, of course. But it's right around that 8-9% increase, which the largest one that they've had since the advent of Social Security. But they do that in order to try to keep pace with inflation.
So I don't do nothing but keep it where you could buy the same stuff again.
That's all that is, right. Kind of keep your head above water. So, you know, that's one good thing that retirees, because most of those people are on a fixed income. Some have the supplemental with the Social Security, maybe a pension, maybe their 401k. But again, that brings up another issue around, it's called the drawdown. If you have a 401k or a 457, how much do you take on a yearly basis in order for the amount of money that you have to last, right? And that number has always been around 4%. You should take 4% a year of whatever your retirement account is.
That's what I heard, 4 to 5%. I was looking at it was a fund for a nonprofit, and they were saying that they based their withdrawals on a 70-year-old man, and it was probably like $3 million in this fund, and they gave an example that that's close to like $100,000 for that 4 to 5% that person could draw from this fund, but it was a nonprofit drawing in this space, and it was just an example. And I was like, okay, $3 million, 5%. You at 65, whatever retirement age, you drawing $100,000. You still got $3 million. That's not a bad job.
Oh no, no, and everything's based on life expectancy, right?
Yeah.
So you know, all the actuaries put the numbers together and say, you know, the average retiree will live 20, 25 years after retirement if they're, you know, in good health. And you definitely don't want to, you know, outlive your money. Some probably say, okay, I don't, man. I'll be 100 to be broke, but. Chances are, if you do it right, the rest of it's going to be an inheritance for your, you know, either your spouse
or
your children.
Yeah, or charity. Yep. So, yeah, just leave a legacy behind. But that's just looking at those spaces. But like you said, looking at inflation. But also, I remember we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the student loans and telling people to process. And I remember saying, Tony, one of the processes was consolidate all your student loans.
Oh, absolutely, man.
Right. I've been trying to tell people that. I've been trying to tell them, but a lot of people have not done it. So then I see this article. It says these loans no longer qualify for Biden's student loan forgiveness program.
Uh-oh.
I was like, uh-oh, I know exactly what it is, right?
Mm-hmm. We know what it is.
And I was like, man, he got
private finance.
Yep, he got them. But then you had an opportunity to qualify. So it says, the department said only borrowers in the Federal Family Education Loan, the FFEL program, whose loans are held with the federal government are eligible. The FEL program, which stopped issuing loans in 2010, was a student loan system that had private banks manage the loans but were guaranteed by the federal government. Mm-hmm. So my loans came from that. I had some in 2010. So when 2014 came, when I graduated from Cornerstone, I consolidated everything with a nonprofit with the Fed loan. So all my loans under Fed loan, but I did have some of them.
Okay.
So when I did that, it put me in a space where I qualified for nothing but for forgiveness. I'm looking like, oh, I made these payments. It was like 4 years of payments. It was like, well, you got these other loans. I was like, well, I'm gonna consolidate them. So I consolidated them all into a government-owned program and got away from that private sector. And what it did for me is I qualified for everything. It's like, just make your payments. So now everybody's talking, I don't qualify, or I don't qualify, I didn't do this. And I look back and I say, almost 10 years ago, I did what I supposed to do. So all my loans is in that space. So he's not even talking to me. So mm-hmm. I'm talking to our audience. If you can, before October 31st, see if your student loans is consolidated. Please see if you did that. Because if you didn't, you're going to miss a great opportunity to cancel them.
Yeah, because we're halfway there.
Yeah, we're almost there. October 31st coming up.
It's 2 weeks, basically. So, yeah, you know, like you say, the clock is ticking.
That's a tight fight. If somebody tell me that I don't qualify for forgiveness, and then when that January bell ring, bing, bing, January 1st, and you got to pay your student loan back, and they say, it's going to be $300. Or this gonna be this based on your income base. You still gotta pay $150. You're like, man.
Yeah, you missed it.
I could have been out of the whole thing.
And this is probably a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Man, they're not gonna run this back because they already said it's criminal. They already saying that they're gonna press charges. They're gonna try to sue the government.
Right.
And then this is how they broke it down, Tony, when they talk about suing the government. Because I got an actual business where I help people consolidate, right? So my business took a big hit once the government took over and froze everybody. I missed probably what? I need a PPP loan. I missed $12,000 of income off just helping people.
Okay.
This during the pandemic, each year, they owe me like $32,000. Right. So I missed that money because I was able to provide that service, but now everybody don't have to pay their loan back or they don't need no consolidation. I don't make nothing.
Yeah, but
that's one group right there.
But there's so many of them that needs the counseling, right?
Yeah.
On how to do it.
On how to do it.
Where do you start at? That's what... It's so frustrating. Right?
So they threw an umbrella.
People don't understand where
to start. They threw an umbrella over it and say, no, we're not going to have these companies like what Chauncey doing or this other company. We just going to blanket it. And you just learn how to put a blanket on. Well, that's how we got generational poverty, because they put blankets on stuff.
Yeah. And the federal government, you know, started basically pushing more of these student loans into the private finance industry, saying that... you know, we're no longer going to be in the business of guaranteeing these student loans.
Yes, sir.
Because they were getting paid. Although you didn't pay them back, the federal government was on the hook to pay them back.
Yeah, and then when they was on the hook to pay them back, when it's time for, like you said, Black Friday to come, they was able to claim the interest for the whole year on what you didn't pay.
Yeah.
And so then they say, he didn't pay, but can we get our money for holding these loans? So the government had to pay these private companies because they held the loan so long. And they like, oh, we held it this year. He supposed to have the interest would have capitalized at this much. You owe us this much percentage of that. So then whatever you pay, and on the back end, when the Black Friday come, that stock market or that private entity is able to approach the government and say, hey, this is our holding company. This is what we hold. This is how many loans we got. This is a percentage that people they see their interest rate. Mm-hmm. And they ain't pay nothing on no principal. They owe us this much. They paid this much, but so the government, they get paid twice. When you in the private sector and you got you running a government program, you get two checks. You get a check from the person you hold a loan from, because you're their provider, and you get a check from the government because they be providing a service for the government. It's contracted work. It's being a contractor for the government holding those loans.
That's
crazy. And all you're doing is holding a promissory note, like a house deed or title. That's all you hold.
Yeah, there's no real tangible asset.
But you take that receipt to the bank, they're going to pay. You take it to the government bank, they say, oh, we owe him this much.
Yeah, because they signed off.
It's like almost like a...
They guaranteed it, right?
Yeah.
They guaranteed the promissory note.
Man.
The government had to pay. And during that time, too, there were so many predatory-type schools, right?
Yep.
That they've all basically been shut down for the most part. But there were many of them out there that was just taking total advantage of these underserved students who had no clue what they were signing up for, and got these worthless certificates or degrees, but yet they still were stuck with this huge debt that they had to pay off because they were told that you're going to be able to get a good job and this, that, and the other. It never materialized. The debt does not go away, right?
Yep. So then what else I have? They said, here are three major ways debt can affect your ability to buy a home. Debt and the way you manage it can help you or harm your ability to buy a home, right? So one of them, it says, you gotta be able to show lenders you can handle paying back lenders. So like we're talking about those little small accounts you got,
mm-hmm.
when and how you paying back. Do you borrow money and you pay the minimum balance? Or do you pay everybody off by the end of the month? What do you do?
Pay them off at the end of the month, man.
Right, do you do your best? You like, do you keep it below 30%? Or you like, no, I'm just gonna keep on maxing it out and just keep that going. So that's one way. Secondly, another way is managing debt well can improve your credit score. So like the debts that you take on, what are you holding on to? And then what are you saying, hey, I can manage this, I can hold this. And is all your income going out to debt?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like somebody like, I want this nice car. I want to live in this real nice house. I want to go on all these lavish trips. You look at your bank account, be like, it say overdrawn.
Get your negative credit card statement.
Negative. Man, I hate it.
And it's maxed out.
In my 20s, I lived like that. And I'm telling you, Tony, it's not a good thing. And then it's a hurtful experience because you could have the best wheels out. You could have the best watch and having a good time. And you look at your bank account, you're like, I ain't got no money.
No money, man. No
but
money.
Everybody, you got a nice car.
Yeah, you got a lot of stuff.
Nice car, man. Nice outfit, man. Nice shoes. So you like
no money in the bank.
You looking like, can I get an advance? Can I get a cash advance? Can I go to the check cashing store? Can I get a couple of hundred to carry me over?
Yeah.
Because they about to take my car. They about to take this. I got to pay my light bill, my cell phone bill.
All
I can't
that's
afford
going
it.
Up. All
so
going
and
up.
All that's going up. So imagine you not managing debt. You say you want to be a homeowner, or you want to be in a space where you want to be debt free. But you don't qualify for the spaces because you're not doing it, and it's the third one. You're not handling, paying things back. You're not managing your credit well. And the third one is, and I said it a little bit earlier, having too much debt can make you ineligible for some homes.
Oh, yeah.
Upside down.
We've seen it all since we've been on this show, right? We've talked about how people have basically got upside down on their on the way you live, right?
Yeah.
The way you live. Which brings another point. It's like in the past, you know, it was always retirees thinking that, you know, And it's I still believe it. When you retire, you should be in a position where you don't have as much debt, right? Where you pay your house off and that kind of thing. But in light of where the interest rates are running now, for those that do have balances on their mortgage, it's probably a better idea to hold on to your cash, your liquidity, than paying off your mortgage, taking a chunk of your retirement to pay it off. For the simple reason is that with the cost of goods and services, gasoline, energy, you need more liquidity. You need to have more cash available to stave off these expenses. So if you know if you're retired, close to retirement, you got a good interest rate on your mortgage, I would say versus trying to refi or taking a lump sum to pay it off, you want to just pay more towards it, maintain that low interest rate, and still keep liquidity so you can pay, you know, your groceries, your light bill, and all those other expenses that are up 10% almost every month.
Now, it's real. I went to buy some apples. I buy apple cider vinegar. I had apple cider vinegar, tea, lemon, and what else? And honey in the mornings, every morning, right? After I run. So it's like it's just a good flush, right?
Good energy, yeah.
Yep, and they give you a boost and they flush your system. So I make the tea. So I go yesterday, and I usually buy it. It costs like $2.89 for apple cider vinegar for the little 16-ounce bottle. Right? Mm-hmm. I buy it yesterday, it says $6.89.
What? It doubled.
And I'm at the health hood. So, like, I pay a little premium because I get the best stuff.
Yeah, you pay a premium there, yeah.
But I'm like, hold up, it ain't never.
Same type, same product.
Yeah. It said never been $6.89. I was like, $6.89. So, this is how I start thinking. I was like, all right, just me and my wife. And I started thinking again. I said, man, I wonder how somebody feeling when it comes to groceries or gas or getting their kids back and forth to school, feeding their family. And somebody say, hey, the groceries, and you usually spend $200 and now you gotta spend $350.
That's right.
You spend that $400, like, I ain't expect to spend that.
Yeah. Those same items that you bought 6 months ago gonna cost you that much more.
Cause they said, like when you said it, the thing about the American dollar, when it's stronger, what it does to the shipping industry and the trade industry is it ups the prices in those other spaces in those countries that we share this global economy with. Mm-hmm. They can't afford to have a strong dollar. The dollar strong, it hurts them because that's how they make their economy go.
Yep.
So it's countries like the euro and other spaces that a dollar is stronger than the euro. Like, what? How that happen?
Yep.
Like, so, the dollar is, last time I checked, the dollar was stronger than the euro was a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of it, you know, Europe is really struggling with energy costs.
Man, they it's tight, Tony. It's bad.
Yeah, because they were so dependent on the Russians.
And Ukraine to do some things together.
The Russians provided a huge amount of natural gas and oil to the European Union, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, the slam dunk came last week when the Saudis said, we're going to cut oil production. So we've also experienced here recently the amount of, you know, we've seen gas go back up over $4 or, you know, almost $4.50 a gallon. So it's going to go back up again, right? Because it's supply and demand. The Saudis are going to reduce the amount of the supply. The demand stays constant. That means we're going to see $5 a gallon again. And I don't know if the reserves that the U.S. have, you know, they said they were going to release some of those reserves. But really, it will have an impact at the pump, because everything that we deal with is predicated on the cost of fuel, right? To get the goods and services to your Walmart, to your Myers, whatever, has to be trucked in. So if the truckers are paying more for their gasoline and their fuel, they're passing that cost on. So this is not the end of inflation when you look at what the price of fuel is. That's I think the main driver in inflation is the energy cost, and then the supply and the demand of goods and services. So Christmas is coming. We're going to see how people react to the increase in prices, because, you know, that's a day when you basically use discretionary income, right? People have savings accounts that they set up just to go buy stuff at Christmas. But now when you're limited to your...
They hit that account. Some people hit that up.
Yeah, yeah. Your groceries going to eat it up. You know, winter is coming, so our gas bills are going to be higher, right? To put fuel in your car is going to be high. for your repairs on your car costs more. If you need clothes, it's going to cost more. So it's going to be really interesting to see how these numbers, because, you know, this is the time of the year when retailers make up for the most part of the year, right?
Yes.
This is when they get into the black. I mean, that's why they call it Black Friday, is because that's the kickoff of the holiday shopping season, and most retailers basically break even during the course of the year. This is how they get into the black.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting.
Like, you know, I've been doing Fundrise Rent Fund, right, with the real estate. So I got some money I put up in there. So then I look, they reinvested my last, because the last quarter, we're in the fourth quarter now, right?
Yep.
So the last quarter just ended. And I'm like, man, I was averaging probably, like, every quarter I was averaging probably $1,000 that I was making. I was like, man, it's doing good. So then yesterday they gave me my dividend and I reinvested it. It was like $126. I said, man, every 3 months I was making $1,000. And I'm like, man, they paying rent, but it's like, that ain't even moving.
Nope.
When it comes to, like, they building these properties because the building material is so high, they like, oh, and when the rent is up, they like, well, the profit ain't really there, Sean. See, nope. This time. I'm like, I'm glad I ain't in the negative, I ain't in the red, but it's the lowest profit I've ever had in the 3 month, in the quarter of the year. And probably I've been doing rent investments since 2017. And I've always been seeing good returns, Tony. And it's just with my discretionary income, like, oh, $1,000 here, $1,000 here, $1,000 here. So then now I'm like, oh, I got enough in there. Well, I'm like, when I was 2 years in the game, I'm like, I'm looking at third and fourth year, that I'm like, oh, I'm making between $500 to $1,000 every quarter with my investment. I'm like, that's doing great.
Yeah.
So then I looked, yes, the other day, I'm like, $100. I only made $100.
Right. So
like, hey, what's going on? I want to call y'all.
If you didn't like this quarter, you sure ain't going to like the next quarter, because it's going to probably be negative, right?
Yeah.
With interest rates keep going up, and we know that the bottom line is the housing builders are just cutting back because the demand is no longer there. I mean, the real estate market killed it in the first part of 2022, man.
They better you better bring out that 50-year mortgage. It's time.
That's coming.
People say, I can pay $700 for something, $300. Hey, go ahead, give it to me.
Yeah, it's coming, man. The numbers say now, you know, you buy a house that's $500,000 on a 30-year mortgage at 6%. When you finish paying off that loan, it's $1 million. You've actually paid back.
It ain't worth having.
The interest, another $500,000, man.
How you know that's going to be something you can leave your family and say it's going to be worth $1 million? You lying to them.
Yeah.
You lying to your family. Say, if I pay on this for 30 years, you're going to have $1 million house. No, you're not.
Nope.
Yep. So I'm going to do this. I got somebody, my boy Tom D, volunteer chapel speaker at City of Hearts Ministry, right?
Okay.
And I got this article on him. Real cool brother, right? Tommy D is in his shining years. He's 84 years old, right? City Heart Ministries, and has been a chapel speaker at Muskegon Rescue Mission for 17 years. He's always leaves a feeling blessed after sharing his story with guests. He was born in Memphis, Tennessee. His family moved to Chicago when he was 8 years old. In 1955, he joined the Army Corps of Engineers, serving 4 years and traveling extensively throughout Europe. He finally recalls the famous cities and historical sites he visited during his enlistment. He shared, life was crazy for a young African-American in the early 1960s. Tom experienced racial prejudice while working for Chicago's main post office on the mail train route. He recalled having to go to the back door of a restaurant in Kentucky because he was not allowed inside. When the time his train had a layover in northern Wisconsin, and his only option was lodging, was to either stay on the train or go to jail. So in 1967, Tom moved to Muskegon and worked for 21 years at SD Warren. Old school, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Tom D. He also served as a loaned executive for United Way, soliciting donations from local companies. Throughout his life, Tom has found ways to contribute and give back. He served on several boards and still is active throughout his community. Now, on here in 71, Tom had an issue dealing with alcohol. He beat that issue, right? Okay. And he said this in his message. Knowing he is doing God's will motivates him to keep serving. So, see, a lot of times people, when you got things that hold you back, and he's just talking about being at the crossroads and just and I'm going to quote him on them. I'm going to wrap this up here. He said he grew up in the church and accepted the Lord in 1960, but he admits he fell away. In 93, he came to Muskegon Rescue Mission and attended the state for a day or two. But a friend working at the Muskegon Rescue Mission encouraged him to enter the men's year-long program, discipleship program. It was here where he met the pastor, Randall, and found his way back to God. The two have been friends since, right? So in 1960, his doctor told him he was one drink away from death.
Ooh.
And that's when he changed his life. So he 84 years old today. And it's just a story that a brother, he saw my wife, was like, hey, share this with your husband. I don't know, he probably know I was going to read it on the radio. Okay. But he always praying for me. He always wishing good on me and my household. So just, it's always a shout out to respect your elders. You never know who they watching and they listen. So Tommy D from City Heart Ministries, brother, I'm going to see you in the neighborhood. You already know you good with me.
Absolutely, man. That's a good story. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Let me see that again, man. I gotta know this dude, coach.